Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we come to you and thank you for this day. We thank you for this day that we can come together and sing your praises. We thank you for this day that we can come together and read your word and learn from it. We thank you for this day where we can take communion together as a body of believers and recognize the love of Jesus Christ for each one of us. We thank you, Lord God, for this day. This day, this moment in time that you have blessed us with. I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you would open our minds and our eyes, our hearts, to what it is that you are speaking. And that we would find hope today as a result of being in your word. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. As I mentioned last week, today is what's considered Worldwide Communion Sunday. So we are going to participate in that. And we're going to do that a little bit different than we normally do. We're going to do that about halfway through the sermon. So you'll figure that out as we get to that point. But we're going to have communion together along with many, many, many Bible-believing churches across the world this morning. And it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do that together as a greater body than just this small local body. We've been working through the book of Ephesians over the course of the last weeks now. If you've missed those previous ones, you can go to the website and you can catch them there. But today we're going to be going to Ephesians chapter 3 and looking at verses 14 through 21 this morning. So if you're using one of the church Bibles, you're going to find that on page 828 if you're using one of the church Bibles. Otherwise, it's Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And this is what it says. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ's name throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I am certain that as believers in Jesus Christ, as people that have even just heard the message of Jesus Christ, maybe you haven't made that decision in your life, but if you know about Jesus, you've probably heard that Jesus loves you, that God loves you. There's verses all through Scripture that talk about God's love for us. There's a verse in Scripture that says God is love. There's kind of those famous verses, right? John 3:16, where it talks about God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and it goes on from there. You're probably familiar with the idea that God loves you. But my question this morning is, how deeply does God's love penetrate into your life? How deeply are you rooted and are you grounded in the love of God? Is it hard for you to accept God's love at times? When you're stressed, when you're troubled or discouraged or tempted, are you grounded in the unshakable love of God? when you fail to live up to your God-given potential? Does God's love give you the strength to try again? When you doubt that anybody could love you, are you secure in knowing that somebody does? When life is good and our prayers are answered as we want them to be answered, it's easy to believe that God loves us. But when life is in turmoil, when there's disappointment, when there's confusion, when there's discouragement that's a part of life, we might at times doubt God's love. This morning, I hope that we can discover how to grasp the full depth of the love of God. It's impossible. It's impossible to truly know love by reading a definition in a dictionary. Love is experienced personally. And God's love is experienced personally and relationally. I mentioned earlier that there's a verse in the Bible that says God is love, right? That's 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. It says God is love. That's not some abstract statement found in the middle of Scripture. It expresses how God relates to people. God's love is personal for each one of you. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, Genesis to Revelation, the love of God is expressed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which make up the Trinity. The three persons are united in love for each other, and they share in common love for people. The Trinity is it's a little bit of a mystery that sometimes feels like it's beyond our capacity to really understand and comprehend it fully. And it's not the goal of today to explain exactly how one God is essentially three different people. That's not what we're trying to do today. Our goal this morning, and Paul's goal in this text, I believe, is more practical. We want to know the love of God as Father, as Son, or Christ, and Holy Spirit. It is one love expressed and made personally real to us in three persons. So we're going to look at each of those persons this morning. And the first one is God loves us as the Father. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God loves us as the Father, if you're taking notes, number one. And we're going to look at verses 14 and 15. I'm just going to reread those again real quickly for us, where it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." Mothers and fathers give children a solid foundation of love and security. That's just part of what we do when we're put into that role, when we're blessed to be in that role of a parent. We provide for their needs. We should. We try to. We delight in the uniqueness of each child. We try to guide our children. We celebrate the growths and the successes of our children. God is the ultimate father. Parental love was his idea, and when parents love their children, they are reflecting the love of God. Paul says that the whole idea of fatherhood or family love originates in the love of God. Paul is saying all family or all fatherhood gets its name from God's fatherhood. I realize that some people have had some people have a hard time thinking of God as Father because their earthly fathers did not give them the love that they needed or deserved. I'm sorry if that's your situation. that's your reality. Some rightfully so have an image of father love which is not really very loving, or which is just flat out horrible. Of course, none of us had perfect fathers in our lives. None of us are perfect fathers, or parents, mothers. Some may have had the impression that the love of their fathers had to be earned, that it was conditioned upon their obedience, or them measuring up to some impossible ideal, or them making their parents proud or their father proud. Through the Old Testament, we see that God's father love is perfect. If you look through the book of the old, or the books of the Old Testament, his love is pure, it's faithful, it's strong. He provides for his children. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is just. He disciplines them for their good, and he never gives up on his children. Some of us last night had the opportunity to be down at Sight and Sound, and we saw the dramatization of David. And it's really a beautiful picture of what we're talking about right here. God's love, right? David did a lot of things really good and some things really bad, and yet God's love was always there for him. God loves with the same kind of love that the Father loves his one and only Son. God loves us as a father. Secondly, God loves us as the Son. I'm going to reread verses 17 and 18 for us. Actually, let me jump back to verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. The sacrifice of the Father was matched by the sacrifice of the Son, as Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. That's what we come to recognize this morning at the table in just a few minutes. That's what we come to celebrate this morning. 1 John 3:16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. Many people struggle at the core of their being with a deep sense of unworthiness. Deep down, they feel that if people really knew them, they could not love them. If people really knew what was going on behind the closed doors of their home, they couldn't love them. If people really knew the struggles, the temptations, the sins, they wouldn't be able to love them. Strangely, some even feel that if God really knew them, he couldn't love them. And that's not the love that God offers through his Son, Christ. To keep their feelings of unworthiness hidden, some people try to hide their thoughts and their feelings, even their behaviors, from God and certainly from other people. They go into a state of denial, or they make excuses to convince themselves and others that they and their behaviors are not as bad as they might seem. The good news is, the good news of God's love is that he loves unworthy people. That's why we're gathered this morning. That's what this table represents this morning, is that God loves unworthy people. When we come up the aisle this morning and we receive the communion elements this morning, we are receiving them as unworthy people. The Son loves unworthy people enough to die for them. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8 says, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, the Son of God loves people who don't deserve it. Praise the Lord. Amen, right? That's the reason we come and celebrate communion this morning. Because the Son of God loves people who don't deserve it. That's why we can come to the table. That's why you can come to the table, because the Son of God loves people who don't deserve it. Christ's love frees us. We don't need to pretend that we're perfect. He gave us his life, and he gave it for imperfect people. We don't need to give excuses for our sins. Jesus already took care of them on the cross. We don't have to try to justify ourselves. Jesus makes us righteous in the eyes of the Father. The elements up front represent Jesus' deep, deep love for you and for me. The bread that you're going to take in just a moment, representing the body of Christ, and the juice representing the shed blood, the body bruised, the blood poured out because of our sins. As we pause for a moment in our service to receive communion together, I want you to simply focus on the love of the Son this morning. The love of Christ. The love that he has for you. I just want you to focus on how deep that love runs. And we know how deep it runs, because he allowed himself to be nailed to a cross in our place. This morning, as we come to receive communion, it's just going to be a quiet time of reflection. They're not going to play any music. It's just going to be silence in the room. So I'm going to invite you to come in a moment. You'll come up, you'll take the bread, you'll take the cup, you'll go back to your seats. And I encourage you, when you go back to your seats, just to spend a few moments reflecting, thinking about Christ's deep love for you and how he has shown his deep love to you. It'll look different for each one of us. But just spend some time thinking, and then you can eat the bread and drink the cup. If you have younger children with you, you can have conversation with them as a part of this time, as you reflect on Christ's deep love. At Fairland, we don't have membership requirements or age requirements to take communion. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to come and to receive the elements and be a part of this service. I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'll open the communion table. If it's easier for you to be served, if you just make eye contact with me, put your hand up, we can make sure a deacon will come and bring elements to you. But then once I'm done praying and open the table, we'll just start from the front. And if you just want to come to the table, then you can go back around. We'll use the center aisle to come up and the outside aisles to go back to our seats. Lord God, we pause this morning in the middle of this passage as we recognize the deep love that Christ has for us. And we thank you for that love. As we come to the table this morning, Lord God, as we take the bread, as we take the cup, and we remember that sacrifice that you so willingly made on our behalves, allow us to be able to, maybe in a new way, understand just a little bit more of the depth of the love that you have for us. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. I would invite you to come to the table. So we receive God's love through the Father. We receive God's love through the Son, through Christ. But the love of God doesn't stop there. Our passage continues and it shows us that God also gives us love through the Holy Spirit. So if we continue on in our passage this morning, we go to verse 16. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being. Paul says something that is hard to understand a little bit in that verse and the next couple verses down. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power or strength or ability to grasp the love of Christ. Why do we need God's help to grasp the love of God? God's love is perfect, but our ability to receive his love, to grasp his love, is broken. When we read Scripture, we learn about the love of God expressed through the Father and the Son. And that should be enough to convince us beyond any doubt that God loves us. Yet, it's not enough. We can know in our minds everything Scripture teaches about God's love as Father and Son, but it will not penetrate to the depths of who we are unless God repairs the broken love receptors that we have. Because we are broken, God's Spirit penetrates deeply to repair our brokenness, so that we can receive his love. Paul says in verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he, the Father, may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that you can grasp the full extent of the love of Christ. We need the Holy Spirit to grasp God's love, because God's love goes deeper than just knowledge, than just what we read. Paul says the love of Christ is a love that surpasses knowledge in our passage this morning. It surpasses knowledge, which we can only understand as God opens our hearts to his love. The love of God is revealed in the persons of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God reaches out to us. He extends his love to each one of us. But we have to accept his love. So what can we do to receive God's love? I think that's really almost the application of what we're talking about today. If we look at verse 19, it says, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. From Scripture, we can know about God's love. How the Father loves, how the Son loves, how the Spirit loves. But Paul implies that the love is a love that surpasses knowledge. So how can we experience the love of God? I think there's kind of three pieces to the application. First of all, pray. Pray for ourselves and pray for others. In verse 15, Paul says, I pray for you. Paul is praying that God would connect with them in love. At its core, prayer, the idea of prayer, the act of prayer, is relational. Oh, maybe you can remember a time when you wanted to develop a friendship or a relationship with a special person. So what do? You spend time together. You talk with each other. You listen to each other. You share your thoughts and your activities together. Your hopes and your dreams, you share those too. You share your frustrations and you share your desires. Love develops in relationship. The amazing message of the Bible is that God wants us to know his love. So what should we do? Spend time with him. Talk and listen. Share your thoughts, your hopes, your dreams, your frustrations, your desires, and everything else. If we pray like that, our love relationship with God will grow. Secondly, believe. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, he says. Faith is key to accepting God's love. Scripture tells us about God's love, and we should believe what it tells us. Faith goes beyond that, however. We need to trust God when he says that he loves us, and we need to accept his love. Then we need to depend upon his love as we live with confidence. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 16, it says this: "We know that we live in God and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anybody acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." When we rely on God's love, we find that his love is real and it's powerful. So we need to pray, we need to believe, and we also need to love as God loves us. We need to love as God loves us. If you're taking notes, write that down. We need to love as God loves us. If you're not taking notes, write that down. We need to love as God loves us. Paul says that the result of knowing God's love is to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." The best way to see God's love is to let it flow out of us. So there's our application. Pray, believe, and love. And look for ways to do those things this week. Make them a priority this week in your calendar. John said, he said, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." The best way, are you catching the drift? To see God's love is to let it flow out of us. We've seen in our passage today about the love that the Father has for us. We've seen about the love that Christ has for us. We've seen the love that the Holy Spirit has for us. To experience it fully, we need to live lives of prayer, of belief, and of the action of love. That's my challenge to you this morning. As we leave this place, will you be committed to living this week with prayer, belief, and love for others? Let's pray together. Lord God, we are humbled as we have come to your table this morning to recognize your love for us. We are humbled as we think of how deep your love is for us, how unconditional it is, how it is freely offered to each and every one of us. We thank you for that. As we leave this place, Lord God, may we figure out ways to experience your love in new ways and in deeper ways even. By spending time with you in prayer, by sharing with you the innermost, deepest parts of our lives, by talking to you, by listening to you, by sharing our hopes and our dreams and our thoughts and our frustrations and our desires and everything else, Lord God. And may we be conduits of your love, Lord God. We all, I'm going to guess, could spend a minute and think of somebody that we personally know that could probably use a little extra love. As you put that person in our minds this morning, Lord God, may we be faithful in being the conduit that shows that love. I pray this in your holy name. Amen.